I'm really pleased today to sit down and talk to Coach Steve Lockway. He's the head football coach at Minnesota State University, Moorhead Dragons. Go Dragons. And just thought we'd sit down and talk about what you do as a coach, obviously coaching, but also my big interest is to hear from you the whole process of the human development, the development of young men, and how do you prepare them for life? Does that make sense to you? Did I capture anything that you do?
That's probably more of what I do than football. So, okay. You know, look, it starts with, it's kind of a long process, but I think it's systemized over the years of, it begins with, you know, trying to get guys to understand the process is more important than the results. And I think everybody hears that, you know, like buy into the process, trust the process, all that stuff. But then I ask them when we start the journey is, what's more important than process? You know, if process is more important than results, now what's more important than process? Mm-hmm. And so you get a bunch of different answers. And at the end, we come to the conclusion that it's character.
Right.
Character is more important than process. We can have the perfect game plan. We can have the perfect plan in the weight room from Coach Herc. But if we don't have the character to stick with the plan, we don't have the character to believe in the plan, to fight through adversity, if we go home and we don't sleep or we don't eat, the plan, the process doesn't matter. Like, you have to have the character to buy into that. And so we get them to kind of understand character is the most important thing. Right. And then if you look at that, character greater than process greater than the results, well, that C is greater than P is greater than R, which just happens to be CPR. So then we start to talk about CPR moments on the football field.
Right?
This is a game of success and failure in and out every play. We're not going to have every play perfect. So there's going to be plays that don't go well. Mm-hmm. There's certain plays bigger than others that don't go well. That's our CPR moment.
Yeah.
So we talk to the guy about, hey, if you see somebody drop a pass, there's a CPR moment. In that moment, in the next 2 seconds, that player is going to look up and he's going to lock eyes with the teammate. And you will either confirm that, yes, he messed up, or you're going to confirm that, hey, it's okay, we got your back. And so we really try and coach hard in that moment when he looks up, what's he going to see? Is he going to see a buddy running towards him that's bought into, hey, lifting him up for the next play in that character piece? And so then, right, so that's the CPR moment, right? You got a full answer here.
Yeah.
Okay. But then it goes, well, how do you get somebody to do that? Well, we've got to get them to buy into this transition of, when you get here, this is not a me versus you race. This is a me with you race.
Right.
So I'm not trying to be better than you. I'm trying to be my best self with you trying to be your best self. And we're going to raise the tide of all ships by being able to do that. So if we can get them to that point, right, we're running this race. Everyone's on their own pace, their own race, but it's me with you. Okay, now we've got that point established. And we're like, okay, well, where does that come from? That comes from love of teammates, right? We can all come from different backgrounds. We can have different personalities. We can have different views. But we're going to run this race together to be better. I'm going to lift you up when you're down. And I think that's, in essence, how you try and create this culture that builds character. And it all does start with character. The better the people, the better the football players are going to be, the better they're going to be when they walk out into life.
Wow. So you need to write this down. And I think it's in your head. I've heard it, different versions of it, like when recruiting days. And I really like it because you're talking about the nucleus being the character, the person, and buying into we're all in this together. And together we can achieve a lot.
Absolutely.
And then the process of developing people. So I started off calling it the human development business. And I talk about that, obviously, as a whole university student. They show up, and they might want to be on the football team. They might want to be on the dance team. They might want to be on the women's basketball team. They might want to be in DECA, you know, business development. Doesn't matter. As long as they show up and they want to participate and be a part of this learning community. So when I talk to parents, they're really pleased. We just had senior day a couple of Saturdays ago. And the reason why they were pleased is they said, my son is ready to pursue the next phase of his life.
Absolutely. I think what we're using the tool of football, right, that they go out and play. But when they leave here, in their interviews, they're not going to be talking about how many pass completions they had, how many tackles they had. They're going to be talking about, hey, how did I work with others? How did I overcome adversity? How did I balance my time? How did I learn to lift somebody up when they were down? How did I notice that? And then how did I go do that? And so I think those are all things that the people want to hire. They want in their business. They want in their life. They want in their friend circle. And so it's football is just our avenue to creating kind of success in the next chapter of life.
Yeah. Well, I've met a lot of the student athletes. You know, it's a collection of different personalities. And some are quiet. And some are less than quiet. Some are out there. But they're all, you know, that teamwork that you're talking about is there. And I've seen them. I've seen a player drop a pass. And immediately one of the other players comes up and grabs him and says, next time, next one, let's
Absolutely.
Go. Yeah. Ready? Go. And they're locked arms and they're running back to the huddle and they're going to do it again.
Absolutely.
For me, what that means is you're preparing for life because in life you get knocked down. And then the key that I always say is when you get knocked down, the first thing you got to do is get up. And then the people that surround you and say, okay, maybe we don't do that again or how we do it different next time. Mm-hmm. But it's the we piece. So the we mentality. So if you're able to develop that CPR culture, then you're developing people that are ready for life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Life's full of ups and downs. Is that? And you mentioned everybody's different. Mm-hmm. We are different, but that's what makes a great team. And so mm-hmm. we talk about those things. We take a personality test. And we have them get on different sides of the rooms with how they scored of introvert and extrovert and maybe a hands-on tactical versus kind of mentally thinking through concrete mm-hmm. things. And we just kind of go and try and get across the point of there's no one best personality type. There's right. no one best whatever. We need everybody using their skills kind of blending together to fill the mm-hmm. gaps. Just like we would not be a great football team if we put 11 kickers out there at the same time. Not going to succeed. We need one kicker at the time when we need to kick to do his job well. And so it's kind of that back and forth, the same reason. We need your personalities, your leadership styles, your specific experiences through life. At some point in time, we're going to need you to step to the forefront and fill in the gaps of our team. And if we can all do that together, we got no gaps.
Yeah. Each player is an asset.
100%.
To the team and to your goals. And how do you look at this diverse set of assets? I mean, there's some people that they're very, very specialized. Mm-hmm. And there's others, you can almost put them in any position. And you need all of them.
For sure.
So it's another perspective of diversity. Diversity of thought, diversity of skills, diversity of introvert, extrovert. Somebody has to just make people laugh sometimes. it's like, okay, and it breaks the tension.
For sure.
And that's good. And then the locker room lightens up and everybody's like, okay, what are we going to do in the second half?
100%.
Yeah.
Yep. And you bring those skills and sometimes it's helping guys realize that your skills might not be the ones that are seen in the spotlight, mm-hmm. but they're still valuable. There's the behind the scenes players that go through it. Just like any great movie, right? Everybody knows the stars, but at the end they roll the cast of everybody that's in that movie. And mm-hmm. I'll tell you, if you're in that movie and you're maybe not a star, there's some pride that comes through there. And so for us, it's just trying to create kind of that reel, those rolling credits of, hey, here's how you succeeded. This was your role, mm-hmm. even though maybe it didn't get seen from the outside world. Find success, find value in that, and try and help each person see how that's defined for them.
Yeah. Well, so you've been very fortunate the past couple of years. One of your student assets is Jack Strand. Mm-hmm. And Jack came on and started to play midway through his freshman year, yep. and suddenly he was the starting quarterback. He was replacing a person that had gotten injured, and now he is the starting quarterback, and he's a real asset. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about Jack and where he is in his student-athlete career, and maybe, why he says, I'm staying at Morehead.
Yeah. Well, Jack's a tremendous human being. He's one of the best, people that I've been around, and he just so happens to be one of the best football players that I've been around too. And so I thought he's really grown here. He's grown in his ability to be able to lead big groups and to connect one-on-one and do those things. And you mentioned that kind of in this last week, there was some questions from the media about if he was going to stay or enter the portal. Mm-hmm. And really kind of emphatically made a statement that I'm here and I'm not here at Morehead just because of the football. It's not just throwing the ball a lot and getting stats and having maybe the spotlight on me and showcasing my talents. he really emphasized he's here because of the culture that he's a part of, the love of his teammates, the love with the coaches. I think the value he gets from the program that's not just about the football. And so I think that's what we're always trying to create. How much value can we create in our program that doesn't have to do with football? Mm-hmm. You know, and we can't put a price tag on that. Hey, if you sign up to play football here and you're going to go to school here, here's the monetary value you're going to get. But we're trying to create that value that they can walk out of here with in a lot of different areas, whether it's team building, the things we've talked about before. There's some opportunities to grow in faith. There's some opportunities to grow leadership-wise, emotional development, finding out about yourself, all those things. And I think those are valuable to him. He's seen how they've helped him. He's seen how they've helped his teammates and wants to continue to be a part of that. And on that journey, also wants to help us be a great football program.
Yeah. So football isn't the only reason he's here. I understand he's a good student, but he's a good leader of his peers. That's just an exceptional person. Well, we're glad to have him, and we're glad to hear that he's going to stay.
Absolutely.
The past couple seasons have just been phenomenal. Just exciting games. A couple times you almost gave me a heart attack. I mean, if you go to Duluth, and you're down two scores, and you go down and score twice with two-point conversions in the last with no time left on the clock and beat Duluth in their home opener. That's making a statement as a program that, hey, we did come to win. And I think that I see that in the students. So they came to win, but they're also gracious if they don't win.
Yeah.
And then they just huddle up on the field and say, okay, what are we going to do to be better?
Yeah, there's a couple great things from that game in particular. Is one of the games we always try and build a theme of the week around a movie, and so our theme that week was The Sandlot, and this big scary dog. We're playing the Bulldogs, and this ball goes over the fence. We gotta get this ball out of there, and we can't because there's this big scary dog. And we gotta, you know, hey, just keep it simple. Just jump the fence, get the ball, and. So what I thought was interesting is we get down into the fourth quarter, the defense gets a stop. It's not looking great. It's 6.5 minutes left. We're down 15. But the defensive guys come off the sideline. I'm talking to the offensive guys like, hey, we just got over the fence. You guys, we got to get the ball from over the fence. And so there was start to this belief, this buy-in. And then lo and behold, we get down to the end and we get before the two-point play. And so one of the quotes of the movie was about being legendary. Basically, you can't steal second with your foot on first. So, you know, the question was, why do you go for two? Well, we had it built into the movie. That was the theme all week. We're playing to win. Just like you said, we showed up, we played to win. We're going to go for two. One of the offensive line, you know, when we broke the huddle, the guys were like, hey, let's do this. Let's be legendary. And then they walk out onto the field, and one of the old linemen right before, when the official steps away from the ball before the first play, he just kind of looked at everybody, and the official said, legendary, right before that play. And so there was some great buy-in from the players. Oh, wow. I think there was a good point for me during that game. It was at that point, we made the decision to go for two. We called the play. It's very rare in the game of football, you call a play and you walk away and you're like, at the end of this game is over. Like, it's going to be either really good or really bad right. from a result standpoint. And so at that point, my job was kind of done. I walked out, took the headset off, and actually started walking down the sideline. This is a good growth point for me, was to walk down the sideline, and I started just shaking hands and high-fiving the guys and just saying, love you guys. And I was at a good point where it's like, regardless of how this game turns out, mm-hmm. I love you guys either way. You guys bought in with great character. You continued to believe. You continued to battle. However this last play turns out is not going to impact how I feel about you guys. And so that was a good growth point for me. It was good to be out there. Now, the players, I don't know if they saw it that way. They thought, wow, coach is extremely confident. He's celebrating before the play. I was like, oh, that's not really what it was about. But we were able to do that, and those guys had a great experience, and that was kind of built, and they led up to it. Again, the character allowed them to be able to do that as we got down the stretch.
That's fascinating. Yes. Well, and that sets an example for them that you're completely supportive of them, whether they're perfect or imperfect or it's a win or a loss. For me, that means that you've set a culture, and you continue to be the dial. You're setting the dial of where our culture is. And, you know, a lot of people talk about organizational culture. It's one of my favorite things. Yeah. How do you make sure that people understand that we're here for each other, with each other, to develop each other, to get, as I always say, how do we be even better? Mm-hmm. And it's not just win-losses, because you learn from losses and wins. So setting that culture, I mean, that's something that I would suggest has developed over time with you as you mature as a coach. Now, I mean that in the positive way, because I've had to mature as an administrator. My first day as an administrator, well, I'm going to say it wasn't perfect. In fact, I think one of my first weeks as an administrator, I burned the popcorn in the microwave and almost set it on fire. So they're like, who is this guy? He can't even make popcorn, right? So not many people know that story. But and I was teased about it for several weeks.
Sure.
But things apparently worked out because I figured out how to be a leader and how to, like, pay attention even to the popcorn bag while it's in the microwave.
Right.
But it's sometimes it's the little things that build up that then define your culture and define how you move together. And I'd say that that's probably an analogy of sport. It's 100 little things that lead to the success and even to the win. Is that fair?
100%, right? And so back to your burnt popcorn, you had an opportunity there to say, okay, how am I going to be as a leader? You probably didn't blame somebody else for it. You probably didn't leave it in there and say, hey, somebody else needs to clean up this mess that I made, right? You rolled up your sleeves, you took care of your own mess, you cleaned it up, you did what you need to, you owned the mistake, right? You maybe opened some windows and got the smoke out of there, and then you showed that, hey, I learned from it and I didn't do it again, right? Or if I did, it wasn't as bad or whatever. And so I think you can talk about culture, you can have it on the walls, but it really comes down to, okay, well, how are you going to handle it in those daily moments? So for us in the Duluth game, for me, that was a daily moment there. Now it was a pressure-packed deal, but I had to do the same thing on the flip side after the Mankato game in our Monday morning meeting. And we played a very good football game. We played against a very good football team who's advanced into the playoffs here. And you know what? We didn't make quite enough plays, but it wasn't lack of effort. It wasn't lack of belief. It wasn't lack of those. At the end of the day, two good teams playing against each other. Somebody's got to win. Somebody got to lose. And we lost. And so when I came in on Monday, I said, I have to defend our culture here. I'm not going to get up here and act like, oh, woe is me that things didn't turn out. I still love you guys either way. I'm still proud of how we played. Like, the result didn't work out, but the character was right. The process was right. Mm-hmm. We don't have complete control over the results. And so culture is important, but those daily in the moment decisions that you make are what either reinforce the culture you're talking about wanting to have or make it a culture that's something different than what's on the walls. And so I think that's a reminder for everybody. In the moment, you got to be great.
Yeah. For me, I've learned more about from my failures. And that's a hard thing to teach young people who have the idealism of, I only want to win, and winning is the only thing. So for me, my failures, you know, I have a couple or a couple dozen. It's they accrue, but how do you put them into place and then say, what did I learn from that? So if that's what you're doing, I'd ask you to keep doing that,
absolutely,
all that, because it's developing people, and that's what we do. It's people that work at a university in higher ed, preparing them for life.
No doubt.
Yeah. So do you have any questions for me? I mean, this isn't just a one way, because we all have a journey. Let's put it that way.
We do have a journey.
Yeah.
You know, so as I look at it, and I'm always curious on kind of what you mentioned, we all learn from our failures, but we all learn from different experiences. Mm-hmm. And so you've been here now for over a year.
Yeah.
What have been kind of the new things you've learned, or the things that you feel like, hey, this has been a great learning moment that I've been able to maybe take past experiences and apply it and be able to succeed now, or be able to go, whew, maybe I didn't handle that better, but I'm ready for the next time. Just some of those lessons you maybe picked up here in the first year and a half.
Well, I knew about MSU Moorhead because I was in the same league in a previous life. So I knew the president, and I'd come to campus for visits, and, you know, I'd met some of the people, the former athletic director, quite a character. And I just thought, you know, they seem like good people, because that's what attracts me to an institution. Are there good people that work there? Do they have a purpose? You know, like we've been talking about, developing young people, and not just the students. We should be developing our faculty staff, you know, and administrators, because we're all in some place of development on the continuum of life. So I sensed that was the case. I thought, wow, that's great. And then the more I was in a competitive situation at a different institution, I saw just how much the state of Minnesota values education. And that is not a national standard. And the value has been proven with investments to institutions, investments in people, investments in programs. So when I was looking, I thought, that's a place I would like to be. And then the more I interviewed, the more I interviewed with the committee, and then I came to campus, I'm like, oh, I really want this job. My game day face was on. I don't know if you participated in any of the interviews. Nope. I was all in, and if I was not getting this job, it's because somebody was walking on water. And I wanted this job. And I still feel that way. I'm happy to be here. But the thing is, it's a really good, what I call, learning community, and it's respectful. The students are really discerning, and they're receptive to learning about what's next and how do I proceed to develop as a young professional. And that's not the way it is everywhere. There are some places out there that people are there, and it's almost like they're picking on each other, or they're looking for an opportunity to pick on each other. Well, that's not a good culture for me, because I know I'm imperfect. I'm as human as anybody, but I just want to be better every day. So I sit down at home at night and say, how'd that go? This place has a lot of forgiveness and a lot of humanity to it. So that's what drew me to this place. So yeah, I have failed. I said, yeah, we'll do this. And then I find out there's a state policy that says I can't. Sure. You know, so I'm still learning the system of Minnesota, Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. But I feel confident because there's a really good board. The chancellor's really good. And the colleagues that I have when I go to the meetings with the presidents, we're not after each other. There seems to be more like a supportiveness. Although we know we compete. I compete with the president of Mankato. I wanted to be able to go to him and say, we beat you this year. It's just in sport. It's for fun. We both agree that we're in the human development business.
For sure.
And somebody's got to win. But I wish it was me.
Right.
Just like he says, I wish it was me. And this year it was, but just barely. He knows that we're right there. And next year we're coming at him again, because that's what we do. Yeah. It's fun.
And I think the great thing is you talked about people that are there supporting you through the ups and downs, right? Same thing that you talked about earlier, running the race with you.
Yeah.
Right? Not in against you, but with you. And even the President Mankato, that example of you're competing against each other, but both of you are pushing each other to be the best, and it's making it better for everybody at both institutions.
Yeah, the students benefit.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So here's a question I have. One of my good mentors always has told me, Steve, pay attention to the things in life that give you goosebumps, where you feel maybe like you're most alive. And so I try and apply that to different phases of my life, you know, my personal life, my professional life. And so maybe looking inside to you of, you know, where are those moments you feel most alive, you get those goosebumps, maybe in your job, maybe it's in your personal life, your hobbies, whatever. I think that's always a kind of a key insight into the heart and soul of a person and kind of what really makes them tick.
For me is when I can see that the plan, like you were talking about the plan, when the plan starts to come together, I get goosebumps. Friday, for example, we had a kind of a quasi-retreat of the cabinet. And really what it was is we had about 15 things we needed to talk about and just sit in a room, not have any distractions, not be looking at email, and just talk about, okay, what's that? What are we going to do with that? I don't know. What do you think? And one of the things that I've had when I first got here was when I say, what do you think? It's because I don't know. Or I need to know what you think about it because I don't know everything. I'm just a guy. Mm-hmm. I'm just a person of N of one. Yeah. So in that meeting, there was so much progress that we had just by talking things through that I actually got emotional at the end of the meeting. And I said, you guys, my heart swells with pride from the conversations we had today. And I know that these things are moving forward. Maybe not as fast as we want, but they're moving. And we're developing this institution in ways that it's never done before. I said, so I'm really just thankful for your contributions. And someone looked at me like, wow, he's emotional. I'm like, yeah, I'm vested. This is my university. And I want us to advance, but I need everybody to be all in, saying, wow, let's give that a try. I think that might work. And as we do that, that's why I'm here. It's not about me. It's about, you said it, the we. How do we move this institution forward? So you have a team of roughly 110 plus your coaching staff. My team's the whole university. And I'm the head coach of the university. That's the way I kind of look at it. Mm-hmm. And when it starts to move and you look up and go, oh boy, that just moved. Some people might not even notice, but I did. And the people on the inner circle did. And then the people on the next level of the circle. And when it gets all the way around campus and everybody has that mindset, that's when I'm just walking around here beaming. So here's an example. We're pushing the name out more. We're pushing the dragons out more. We're starting to talk about success that happens here. And we're starting to talk about the quality of academic programs, the quality of the student experience, the quality of their development. But we're going to start to do that more and more and louder and louder. And why I want to do that is, one, I want everybody that works here, learns here, lives here, to have that sense of pride, that step. Think of when you get off the bus and your team and you're stepping and you're going into the locker room like, yeah, we got this. We're going to win today. I want everybody to walk that way on campus. And I'm seeing it, and it gives me goosebumps because it's people believing in who we are, what we do, and why we do it. And as that uplifts itself as this learning community, people better get out of our way because we're coming. And we're going to take every student in the neighborhood, and we're going to bring them here, and they're going to really develop, and then they're going to go and tell other people, and tell other people, and it becomes almost viral. And we're just at the precipice of getting viral, but we're just getting started. So that's what gives me the goosebumps.
I love it. That's the thing that's exciting, right? Yeah. Of starting to change the world just one person at a time that's coming here and walking out and telling our story to others, and then they're here, and then they go impact their businesses and their families and so on.
Baby steps.
It
no,
is.
No baby steps.
Yeah, and it takes a while for that ripple to hit and then radiate out, but you can definitely see that there's been ripples are being made over and over.
A lot of life is believing in yourself. I mean, I was in sports as a kid. And for example, when I was in Southern California, I ran track. And there were people, there was one young guy in particular that he was pretty good. In fact, he ended up with a full scholarship to UCLA in track. Also played football, even though his track coach hated that because he could get hurt. At the end of the day, he did the long jump and triple jump in the Olympics. And has a Super Bowl ring as a wide receiver with the Oakland Raiders. He was pretty good.
Yeah.
Nobody beat him. I don't think ever. But didn't mean that I didn't try. You know, he made me better.
Yeah.
One day, at 60 yards, I was beating him in the 100. But then there was a gear that only one person on that track had. It was him. He had a terrible start. Mine may have been a false start. The gun didn't go off twice, so I kept running. And I was winning. But after 60, I wasn't winning. And I lost to him by 5 yards. So what did I do? I felt pretty confident that I was winning at 50.
Right.
You know?
Right. Find your successes.
Yeah. And I knew that I wasn't a 100 guy.
Yeah.
He was. So I ended up running the quarter. Yeah. But you learn from it. But it just challenged me to be better. So that's what we have to do is look outside. Who's the benchmark? Let's not just be them, let's exceed them. But we can do all these things together. And it's fun.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the key in life is believing in yourself.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, you said, I think you maybe said, especially young people, but everybody.
Yeah.
In your experience, if you've gone through, we're in the human development business. I'd say I'm in the coaching the human spirit business, and that's a belief in self. Like, what are some of the things that you've ways or you've helped find to help people build that self-confidence, or maybe how you've been able to build it in yourself and through your journey of going out and you wanted this job, you went out and got this job. There had to be a belief.
I think the belief doesn't just end up when the big wins, it's the little steps. So if you have a failure or if you don't achieve what you thought you should achieve, then how do you do that assessment? So I'm a big assessment person. You know, drop back and say, okay, what happened? What did I not do? What could I have done better? How could I maybe ask for help? That's something I didn't used to be very good at. And I've learned to ask for help because I can't know everything. So it's that kind of assessment model and constantly being able to say, well, that didn't work out like I'd visualized. I'm a big visualization person. Before a meeting, I'll say, okay, what do I want to happen in an ideal world? What's my part? And I hope they play along.
Right.
Yeah. But you always have to be willing to adapt
because
they may not be willing to play along, and now you have to go to plan B. For me, it's that constant assessment. I mean, as a kid, I was cross-eyed, and I couldn't see the blackboard, and I sat in the front row. I failed first grade. So I started off academically as a failure. Now, everybody said, you're not a failure. You just can't see. Well, but at the end of the day, I took first grade twice. So the kids in second grade the next year were poking at me saying, hey, there's stupid Timmy. You know, and that put a little seed in me that says, oh, yeah, I'll show you. So I think one of the things that we have to constantly work on is building into the lives of everyone that sense of resilience and belief in yourself, and then ask people that are willing to help you to help you. And then every once in a while, just sit down and say, you know, I think today it was a little better, and just a little better. I mean, when they used to have the reading groups as kids, and they would name the reading group. I was in the turtle group because I was a slow reader. I'll never forget this.
Sure.
I wasn't in the hare, the rabbit group. I was in the turtle group. And of course, you know, when you go out to the playground, what do kids do? Oh, you're a turtle. I guess I am. But eventually I figured it out. And then I challenged myself. So it's, you know, kind of building in the resilience and then setting your goals and working hard, little baby steps to achieve those goals. Teaching students that model, it could be done academically, it could be done with any student athlete, it could be done with an entrepreneur, it could be done with somebody that's charged with being a dean or a vice president of a university. How do we just constantly be chipping away at it to be better?
Yeah.
So those are the things that, you know, I've learned, and I tell students, you know, hey, I failed first grade. Like, what? Yeah, my SAT score, it was kind of average. My GRE score, guess what? It wasn't good enough. The University of Texas rejected me because they said it wasn't good enough. Well, later, after I started my career, one of them came up to me at a conference and said, we should have accepted you. I'm like, well, it's okay.
Right.
You had a line in the sand number, and that's all you cared about, and that's the way it works for you.
Right.
He goes, yeah, but that wasn't right. I said, well, it's okay. Actually, I had a better experience going to the University of Oklahoma.
It's turned out all right.
It turned out okay. Yeah.
You keep on covering kind of nuggets of gold here. And you mentioned you weren't always able to ask for help.
Yeah.
That's a hurdle that we see in the guys that we coach, of that willingness to ask for help, where you have to kind of be vulnerable enough to kind of admit, I don't understand that. I don't know how this works.
Right.
I'm not good enough yet to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Any advice in your experience of how to help people get over that hurdle? Because once you can do that, obviously we're better together than we are alone. And so we all say that in team, but then we have a hard time then going and asking help, putting it into play.
You know, the most frustrating people that I've ever competed against were the naturals, where you just put them on any playing surface and, you know, they can make a 3-point shot. And then you look at them and they can play tennis. And it's like, don't you have any challenges, right? Most of us, that's not the case. So I think getting people to understand that everyone has different skill sets. And if you ask for help and say, well, coach, I'm playing left tackle. And when this happens, when the guy cuts in on inside between me and the guard, I miss the block. So what am I doing here? Just getting him to ask. Because half the time I miss it, and the quarterback is running for his life, and the other half of the time I pick it up. So you get somebody in the room that says, okay, here's what you do. Your first step has to be, and then he looks up and says, that's it? Because a lot of times it's real simple, but you just don't see it. And then once they see it, then now it's practicing it, because you're not the natural. And then realizing, hey, this is learned. I can learn. And that reinforces, I should have asked all along.
Right.
You know,
right.
You might have been starting last year
right.
if you'd asked last summer. So, you know, getting them to understand that asking is a good thing, showing the vulnerability, it's okay, especially the culture you built. We're here to help you develop, not say, you should know that. and be demeaning.
Right.
So it's all about the culture. If you create a culture of vulnerability and asking in order for everyone to be better, then I'm going to guess that there's a lot of asking. Coach, why is this? And then you look in and maybe you say, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, do you ever do that? Do you say,
I don't know? We do. Okay, we don't know. We're going to have to ask, what do you guys think? What does so-and-so think? And
exactly.
I think we've done a good job. Our older guys understand that's a hurdle. So they'll ask a lot of questions in meetings, even if they maybe know the answer, but they think somebody else in the room doesn't. Mm. And so I think it kind of sets the precedence that that's okay to be able to do that. So we're all in it together.
So the players, the senior, juniors and seniors are coaching the younger players how to behave.
As much as we can, right?
That's powerful.
Yeah, it's better coming peer to peer.
Right.
Than it is. And we've been intentional about that of, we want you to train the next guy. Again, run the race with them.
Right.
And so there's kind of a ripple effect from that in the sense of, right, it's easy to tell them, hey, you should have stepped left. You should have instead of right. Like, that's an easy fix.
Right.
Okay, but then the next step that's harder is, that effort wasn't good enough. Like, if you want to play in games, that effort's not going to cut it. This is what we need. And so you hope you get them to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And then if you can get them to that point, then it's like, okay, what's the next step? Hey, these choices you're making outside of football in your personal life, wow, are they pulling you away from being the best you can be? Wow, are they putting at risk your maybe position on the football field, your position to get a degree? And so can we bring them along that spectrum where they've got a true friend, not just a cheerleader, but a true friend that's gonna be like, hey, you know what? Here's some feedback you maybe don't wanna hear. I'm gonna do it in a kind way, the best I can, but you do need to hear it if you wanna make adjustments so that you can achieve the things you say you wanna achieve.
Yeah, like time management.
Absolutely.
I mean, what I learned, I had a short stint in as a student athlete in college, the time management's critical. And I don't think people understand the complexity of a student athlete's, any student athlete, across the board, all sports, is you might have training table, or you might have, you got to go get some physical therapy, and then you go to class, and then you go to practice, and then you go home and you try and, reset, and then you got homework. And then you do it all over the next day. I mean, the day is very structured. And if you fall into bad behaviors, bad habits, and spend up till 3 in the morning doing Xbox, well, you probably don't have your homework done, you're not ready for class, and you're falling asleep in the back. That's not going to lead to Dean's List or even graduation. Correct. That's going to lead to this train wreck because you didn't modify your behaviors. Mm-hmm. And it all gets set in college. Everything kind of, all the patterns for success.
It's just training for the rest of life, right? We're all going to go out. We're going to have busy lives. So can we manage a marriage, a family, a business, whatever, might volunteering, whatever, a lot of things. And so this is a training ground for the next phase of life. And, hopefully we're doing a good job training them to succeed here, which sets them up to succeed later.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the season, you have the dinner. And, the parents there, they feel a part of community, because their son is part of your community and they're brought in to be, and breaking of bread, and it's like this giant family. I don't know how
family,
many people.
Family of families.
Yeah.
We had over 450 people.
And wow.
Started as just under 200, about 8-10 years ago, and it's slowly grown, and the parents, the siblings, the grandparents, girlfriends, fiancés, whatever. It's been a great thing. It's one of the best days in Dragon football for me. You see how many people are actually impacted by what we do here. And I know it's more than just that. It spreads beyond those walls, but you see that direct impact, and you have parents that say, you know what, I knew my son was going to have a transformational experience here and make lifelong friends. Mm-hmm. But wow, we picked up some lifelong friends along the way, traveling with these parents to the games. And I just thought that was one of the great comments at the end of this season, that you're like, you know what, this is, what we do is life-changing. And so we're doing something special, and we just want to keep doing it and doing it the right way.
Yeah, I call it building community, because a university is a community, but it, within the university is a whole bunch of little communities. There are academic departments, athletic teams. It's There's all the, you know, the band, wherever, whomever, they become this community of learners that are kind of together in this learning community. It's fascinating. And our community is important to this community and the region. I mean, that's one of the things that we're trying to push out. We're a community of learners advancing the lives of the learners and ourselves with Sabonis. Mm-hmm. But then we need to be a part of this community of Moorhead and the region. And as that kind of elevates itself, that's another one of our goals, then people will say, wow, they're an asset to our community and our region. And then as we move forward, sometimes we're going to need help with some project or something. Mm-hmm. People will be very receptive because they know how important we are. Just like, you know, I know how important athletics and academics are to that whole student development. It's a neat place to work.
Everybody wants to belong to something, feel part of bigger than something, bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
And I think you've done a phenomenal job since you've been here creating that sense of belonging, that sense of pride in what each of those little communities is doing, and then how important it is beyond these walls to our community, to the region, and so on. I think people are seeing that. We're excited about the future. And I think MSUM is a great place, heading in a great direction. And if you're a student out there that doesn't know where you should go, you should take a serious look, and you should be a dragon and be part of the journey with us.
I couldn't have said it better, but it's for me, it's a collection of all of us doing it. I just I'm seeing kind of the palpable difference. And like I say, the dragons are rising. It's as a community, we're starting to see how good we are and how good we've always been, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more. I mean, you talk about that one of our premises, humility. Well, I don't think we want to be obnoxious, but I think we want to show confidence in what we do, why it's important, and to your point, why you should come here and be a part of what we're doing.
Right.
It's the premise of higher education. It's a little bit idealistic, but I think idealism kind of drives people to be better.
No doubt.
Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. So, well, I've really appreciated watching what you do with our students and our student athletes. And it's become one of the benchmarks of, you know, how do we coach and how do we develop people? I think it happens with the faculty and with our staff because they're doing similar things, but in a different way. Mm-hmm. They have meetings for different purposes.
Right.
But I think if we're all doing similar things, like you're saying, in terms of your philosophy and your culture that you have within the football program, then we'll go great places. So it's really warms my heart to see all this happening. Anytime I can help advance the program or meet with students and their parents, whomever their significant others are, we need to tell that part of the story. Because it's not just the sport, it's the whole person.
Absolutely.
So this is great. You continue to do great work. I'm happy to hear that we're going to keep the team intact and that we're going to be ready for next year. I know there's a lot of work to do, but to your point, all those people out there, just come see us, come walk around, meet the people, make an informed choice. If you don't choose here, we'll respect that. But my point is, I think you missed an opportunity.
I think you're right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Coach. I appreciate the opportunity to sit down and talk with you.
Likewise.
I've learned a lot.
Likewise.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.